Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
The cruelty that's been happening at the Texas border just doesn't seem to stop. Greg Abbott's implementation of the buoy system and the concertina wire on the border is sadly not an immigration policy and certainly not a strategy, and it's leading to the deaths of women and children along the border.
The U.S. Department of Justice is threatening to sue Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott if he doesn't take steps by today to remove large barrels and coils of razor wire placed in the Rio Grande River to block migrants from crossing the border. We'll speak to Texas State Senator Roland Gutierrez, and we'll go to Arizona, where the intercepts revealed U.S. Border Patrol agents are holding migrants in outdoor cages amidst a record-setting heat wave.
Inside the walls of the station, I saw roughly 50 migrants being held in a chain-link enclosure with very little shade. The temperature that day was 114 degrees. We're currently experiencing a record-breaking and deadly heat wave. And already this month, the remains of 14 migrants have been found in the desert in this area.
Then an historic settlement. New York City's agreed to pay $13 million to protesters victimized by the police during the 2020 Black Lives Matter protests. And we'll look at the new blockbuster film about J. Robert Oppenheimer, the father of the atomic bomb.
Christopher Nolan's new Oppenheimer movie has drawn raves and large crowds this weekend. However, I found not so much what's wrong in it, but the many omissions that are troubling as we look at what happened in 1945 and the lessons for today as nuclear dangers increase in 2023.
We'll speak to journalist Greg Mitchell. He asks, is Hollywood still afraid of the truth about the atomic bomb? All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Climate scientists have confirmed the first half of July marked the hottest 2 weeks in recorded human history, and there are no signs the summer of climate extremes is set to end anytime soon. In Greece, evacuations are underway from the fire-scorched island of Corfu. This follows the largest mass evacuation in Greek history, as some 30,000 people fled what survivors described as hellish wildfires and roads in recent days. European holiday goers who spent nights on the floors of airports and emergency shelters describe harrowing scenes.
Smoke had been traveling over our pool for quite some time at the Princess Sun Hotel, and it was just getting worse and worse, and we started to hear the helicopters, and then basically you could see the fire eventually on the mountaintop. Everyone dashing about, fleeing for buses.
At least 82 wildfires are blazing across Greece during the summer's unprecedented heat wave, displacing thousands of people and burning down homes. In Italy, record-breaking heat was followed Friday by a fierce hailstorm in the north, where ice the size of tennis balls fell on the streets of Seregno, just north of Milan, inundating the streets in icy floodwaters. In India, authorities have ended a rescue mission after a monsoon-triggered landslide in the western state of Maharashtra killed at least 27 people and flattened homes. At least 57 people are still missing and presumed dead. In Pakistan and Afghanistan, flash floods and landslides killed at least 44 people in recent days. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization's warning global heating has pushed cases of dengue fever to near record highs. In Bangladesh, authorities say the mosquito-borne viral infection has already reached epidemic proportions, killing 176 people this year, many of them children. and Canada. Authorities in Nova Scotia say the region was deluged in less than 24 hours with the amount of rain it typically gets in 3 months. Here in the United States, the Newell Road wildfire in Washington's Klickitat County grew to nearly 52,000 acres Sunday, prompting evacuations. Authorities say the fire threatens farms, crops, and livestock, as well as solar and wind farms and a natural gas pipeline. If it continues to grow, it could also threaten the Yakima Indian Reservation. Spain appears headed for contentious political negotiations after snap elections failed to produce an outright victory for either the left or right. The conservative Partido Popular won the most parliamentary seats, though it received fewer votes than expected. Even if it formed an alliance with the far-right Vox Party, the right-wing bloc would still fall short of a majority. Meanwhile, Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez's Socialist Party, which came in second, and the progressive Sumar Party spun Sunday's victory outcome. This is a Prime Minister Sanchez speaking from Madrid.
Those who proposed machismo, a regression on rights and freedoms, have failed today. And the backward-looking bloc of the People's Party with Vox has been defeated. There are many more of us who want Spain to continue moving forward than pursuing the path of regression.
Pro-independence Catalan and Basque parties could now become kingmakers in the formation of Spain's next government. In Cambodia, long-ruling Prime Minister Hun Sen declared a landslide victory in national elections Sunday in a race where the ruling party ran virtually unopposed after suppressing the only viable challengers. Hun Sen, a former Khmer Rouge commander and the longest-serving head of state in Asia with 38 years in power, is widely expected to transfer the premiership to his eldest son, Han Manet. In Israel, President Isaac Herzog declared the country, quote, in the midst of a national emergency, as lawmakers hold a final vote today on a highly contested bill that would abolish the power of the Supreme Court to block government decisions it deems unreasonable, the first of several radical judicial reforms set to be voted into law in the coming days. Opposition parties are boycotting today's vote, which comes after hundreds of thousands of protesters marched in cities across Israel for a 29th consecutive weekend. Hundreds are demonstrating outside the Knesset in Jerusalem, where police fired water cannons to disperse protesters who block roads. Others chain themselves to trees.
We were left with no choice but to go to disobedience, nonviolent disobedience. And we're here to protect our democracy with our bodies. We can only hope that they will listen to our cries. We want equality for all, and this is all we can do.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was discharged from the hospital earlier today after receiving emergency surgery to implant a pacemaker Saturday. He arrived at the Knesset in time for today's vote. Palestinian authorities are demanding a probe into the killing of a Palestinian teenager by Israeli forces in the occupied West Bank town of Sebastia early Saturday morning. Witnesses say Israeli soldiers fired more than 40 rounds into a car transporting 18-year-old Fawzi Hani Mahalfe. Separately, Israeli soldiers fatally shot 17-year-old Mohammed Fuad Atta Al-Bayed in the head during protests in the village of Safa. Here in New York, a man being detained at Rikers Island was found dead in his cell Sunday morning. 44-year-old Curtis Davis is the seventh prisoner death at Rikers this year. Last week, Manhattan's top federal prosecutor called for a government takeover of the Rikers prison complex. New York City Mayor Eric Adams opposes the idea. There have been 26 prisoner deaths at Rikers since Adams took office in January of last year. A warning to our audience, our next stories contain descriptions and footage of police violence. In Ohio, newly released body camera video shows a state highway patrol officer unleashing a police dog on an unarmed black truck driver after a traffic stop south of Columbus on July 4th. The footage shows 23-year-old Jadarius Rose had his hands in the air when a handler directed the dog to attack him. Rose was bitten, dragged by the arm, hospitalized, later released to be booked at the Ross County Jail on felony charges of failure to comply. So far, there's no sign the officer responsible for the attack has faced any disciplinary action. In California, surveillance video shows a Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputy brutally beating a 23-year-old transgender man outside a convenience store in February. Emmett Brock was driving home from his job as a teacher when he was followed by Deputy Joseph Benza to a 7-Eleven parking lot, where the officer tackled Brock to the pavement and punched him repeatedly in the head, accusing him of resisting arrest, even as Brock cried out for help, struggled to breathe, made no move against the officer. A police report said Brock was pulled over because he had an air freshener hanging from his rearview mirror. Brock says he was assaulted because he held up his middle finger when driving past Benza's patrol car. Donald Trump's trial over his handling of classified documents has been set for May 2024, 6 months before the presidential election. Trump's legal team is expected to file multiple motions, which could push back the trial's start date. Federal Judge Aileen Cannon, a Trump appointee, set the trial at Florida's Fort Pierce courthouse. The jury pool will be drawn from counties that previously elected Trump. And President Biden announced Friday he secured commitments from seven major tech companies to ensure artificial intelligence adheres to a set of safety and transparency standards.
Companies have a duty to earn the people's trust and empower users to make informed decisions labeling content that has been altered or AI generated, rooting out bias and discrimination, strengthening privacy protections, and shielding children from harm.
Other pledges include testing products for safety before releasing them, combating cyber threats, and managing risks to national security. The seven companies are Amazon, Anthropic, Google, Inflection, Meta, Microsoft, and OpenAI. Experts welcome the voluntary commitment as a positive first step, but called on lawmakers and government agencies to reinforce the measures with enforceable regulations. This comes as workers in a growing range of industries are calling for better protections against AI. More than 8,000 authors, including Margaret Atwood, Jonathan Franzen, and Viet Thanh Nguyen, signed onto a letter organized by the Authors Guild calling on AI to stop exploiting copyrighted works. The letter reads in part, "These technologies mimic and regurgitate our language, stories, style, and ideas. Millions of copyrighted books, articles, essays, and poetry provide the food for AI systems, endless meals for which there has been no bill," they wrote. Meanwhile, Google has demonstrated their AI-powered news writing tool known as Genesis to executives at The New York Times, The Washington Post, and News Corp, owner of The Wall Street Journal. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The U.S. Department of Justice is threatening to sue Texas after Republican Governor Greg Abbott installed barrels wrapped in razor wire in the Rio Grande in an attempt to block migrants from crossing the river and entering the United States. Texas has also placed large coils of razor wire in the river. The Justice Department has given Abbott until 2 p.m. today to begin removing the floating barriers and related structures. Humanitarian workers and local news outlets report numerous migrants, including children, have suffered from lacerations after being cut by the razor wire. Oftentimes, they couldn't see it was underwater. A whistleblower state trooper at the Texas Department of Public Safety recently decried the state's inhumane policies. In a letter to superiors, Nicholas Wingate wrote, quote, "The wire and barrels in the river needs to be taken out, as this is nothing but an inhumane trap in high water and low visibility," he wrote. Last week, the U.S. Justice Department sent a letter to Texas stating, quote, "The state of Texas's actions violate federal law, raise humanitarian concerns, present serious risks to public safety and the environment, and may interfere with the federal government's ability to carry out its official duties," unquote. Texas Governor Greg Abbott responded by writing on social media, "Texas has the sovereign authority to defend our border under the U.S. Constitution and the Texas Constitution." Abbott went on to say, "We will see you in court, Mr. President." We're joined right now by Democratic Texas State Senator Roland Gutierrez. He recently announced he'll run against Republican Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. Welcome back to Democracy Now!, State Senator, at least for now. It's really important to have you with us on this critical day. Can you talk about these flesh-ripping razor wire barriers in the water and what you think needs to be done at this point?
Well, thank you, Amy. First off, I mean, it's obvious that what's happening on the border is inhumane, as Trooper Wingate suggested that these people are made in the eyes of God, and that no one should have to go through this kind of torture. And it is torture. Let's be very clear. The wire that is in the water cannot be seen. It's lacerated people. It's caused problems. And worse yet, Trooper Wingate describes a situation where people have tried to get beyond the buoys and beyond the razor wire, sadly, in deeper parts of the river. He talks about a mom who lost her child underwater. Her and her other child succumbed at that point. They rescued the mom and the daughter, but they sadly died at the hospital. And so we have to understand that what's happening at the border in Texas right now is criminal. There are state crimes, there are federal crimes, and there's international crimes. We have to understand that what's happening right now is of such a degree that troopers are acting under the color of law, and that they're not only are taking people's rights, but people are dying or being injured very seriously from this. Greg Abbott needs to stop this flippant attitude and understand that what he is doing is harming people, and nothing he is doing has anything to do with any kind of immigration policy, because they have shown no metrics under Operation Lone Star. It has been stunt after stunt after stunt, and unfortunately, this one is leading into the deaths of migrants and migrant children.
There were a number of other incidents that were described in the email. The 4-year-old migrant girl and a pregnant woman having a miscarriage found with severe injuries as they crashed into the barbed wire barrels while crossing the river. The young girl had also passed out from heat exhaustion. Wingate also wrote that the migrant mother, as you described, and one of her children drown. It looks like the other one is not found. A child being pushed back into the water by one of these border patrol?
Yes, Amy. I mean, all of those actions that you just described are absolute crimes that need to be prosecuted. I have talked to the local district attorney. As you know, I've asked the Justice Department to step in. They have suggested that they're indeed doing that. They've asked the governor to remove the obstacles in the water. The Department of Public Safety's director, Steve McCraw, I spoke to him immediately as these reports came out, which was last Monday, and he suggested there's going to be an audit. I don't think he understands the severity of the situation. This is not about an audit. We need to have an investigation as to who gave what commands and when, how high from the Department of Public Safety did those commands come from, who knew about it. He claims, of course, that he didn't know anything about it. But, you know, any kind of audit or investigation of any sort from this agency is, I just question, because this is the same agency that failed all of those kids in Uvalde, Texas, over a year ago. And here yet we have no accountability from this agency at all in the last year and a half on that incident. I think that we have to take a very serious look at what's considered immigration policy and what isn't. The last 2 months, we have seen a success in the re-implementation of Title VIII, cutting down crossings about down to half. The fact is, Greg Abbott doesn't want to have that discussion. He simply wants to talk about the chaos that he's created.
And you've announced you're running against U.S. Senator Ted Cruz. What role does Cruz play in all of this, representing the state of Texas?
Amy, the best I could say is cheerleader, I guess, cheerleader to Greg Abbott. He likes to come down to the border, doesn't talk about any of the benefits that are happening in the communities along the border, doesn't talk about trade. He likes to talk about, you know, this invading horde. He scares people with this notion that, you know, people are just carrying fentanyl across our borders, which is just simply not true. Fentanyl product is coming in from all sorts of ports of entry across this country. No doubt fentanyl is a problem, and no doubt immigration to a certain degree is a problem. But those immigrants are not responsible for the major problems that are happening in Texas in education and healthcare, infrastructure, and beyond, and really quite simply lack of opportunity. Ted Cruz has done nothing to solve this problem, nothing to offer an idea how to solve this immigration problem that we're having. Luckily, under President Biden's administration, the last 2 months, as I said, after the reimplementation of Title VIII, we've seen border crossings cut in half.
You are going to run for the U.S. Senate against Ted Cruz, Democratic Texas State Senator Roland Gutierrez. So I wanted to stay on the immigration, because if you were in the U.S. Senate, you might be voting on issues, of course, far beyond the borders of Texas. And I wanted to look at Arizona now with a related story. The Intercept has revealed U.S. Border Patrol agents are holding migrants in outdoor cages amidst a record-setting heat wave. On Thursday, Intercept reporter Ryan Devereaux and photographer Ash Ponders observed about 50 migrants inside a chain-link pen at the Ajo Border Patrol Station, which is about 2 hours west of Tucson. The migrants could be seen huddling in a small area where there was a bit of shade on a day when temperatures reached 114 degrees in the area. Meanwhile, the group Humane Border says the bodies of at least 13 people have been found over the past month in the Sonoran Desert, which many migrants cross. In addition to State Senator Roland Gutierrez, we're joined in Tucson, Arizona, by Ryan Devereaux, investigative journalist for The Intercept. His new piece headlined, "Border Patrol is Caging Migrants Outdoors During Deadly Arizona Heat Wave." Ryan, welcome back to Democracy Now! Please describe what you've seen.
Thanks for having me, Amy. Last week, I got a tip that the Border Patrol was holding migrants outdoors in a some sort of enclosure at the Ajo Border Patrol Station. And this was surprising for two reasons. Anybody who knows anything about the desert in southern Arizona knows that this portion of the desert is as deadly as it gets. And as you mentioned at the top of the show, we are right now experiencing a record-setting and deadly heat wave. So I drove out to the Ajo Station with photojournalist Ash Ponders. As you said, it was 114 degrees that day. We hiked up to a ridge where we were able to see into the Border Patrol station. We had a telephoto lens and binoculars, and we were able to observe roughly 50 migrants being held in a chain link enclosure under a sort of carport style structure that cast a small strip of shade on the ground. The ground was loose rock. The shade was minimal. People were crowding themselves into the shade that was available shoulder to shoulder. I observed roughly 30 migrants being marched off to a separate set of section of the facility, and roughly as many staying behind. The ground was littered with water bottles. There was one large fan and a misting machine set up, and the only furniture in the pen was a set of bleachers, metal bleachers, that were in direct sunlight and appeared to be scorching hot. The fan and the misting machine were pointed in an area with direct sunlight, so they weren't being used. People were largely quiet and still. There were folks there who were there when we arrived and still there when we left. We observed the scene for roughly an hour there. And as I've gathered more information, before and after the reporting, the Border Patrol station there in Ajo has been seeing a lot of migrants coming in. Folks are presenting themselves for asylum down near the border wall south of Ajo, roughly 200 to 300 people a day. But last week, in a 24-hour period, there were 800 to 1,000 people who showed up. Humane Borders and other humanitarian groups are trying to provide aid down there at the border wall, but are overwhelmed at the moment.
Were they men, women, children?
From what I could tell, it appeared to be mostly adult men, but age and gender were sort of impossible to be absolutely certain about from a distance. But the 30 or so migrants who I saw marched off appeared to all be men. However, at the border itself, there are absolutely families showing up, children showing up. And as you mentioned at the top of the show, in the past month, the remains of 14 migrants have been found in the desert. And that's, on top of the 4,000 plus that have been recovered over the past 2.5 decades. And all border researchers agree that that is certainly an undercount. I mean, you really can't overstate how deadly this ecosystem is. And when you combine that with the heat wave that we're experiencing now, it's absolutely a recipe for disaster.
You write, Ryan, on Wednesday, officials in Maricopa County, north of Ajo, reported at least 18 people have died from heat in Phoenix this year, with 69 other cases under investigation. We're not talking about uncomfortable heat. We're talking about deadly heat.
That's absolutely correct. And the area that we're talking about where these migrants are being held is as rugged as it gets, it's as remote as it gets. And even under normal conditions in the summer, this is a part of the desert that you absolutely do not trifle with. And under these conditions, with this heat wave, it is otherworldly. It's extraordinarily hot and extraordinarily deadly, and that desert will take your life in no time.
A spokesperson for Customs and Border Protection sent a statement to The Intercept that said the agency, quote, is prioritizing expeditiously transporting non-citizens encountered in this desert environment, which is particularly dangerous during current weather conditions, to U.S. Border Patrol facilities where individuals can receive medical care, food, water. Ryan Devereaux, your response.
Yeah, it's the sort of statement and response that we would expect from CBP. It's fairly boilerplate. I think the biggest unanswered question here right now is, how is it that a multi-billion dollar agency, CBP, receives more funding traditionally than ATF, FBI, DEA combined? How is it that this agency does not have the resources to handle the arrival of migrants that is totally predictable? I mean, this happens multiple times a year. It's been happening for years. And yet what we're seeing is a reaction that is what you would expect from somebody who's seen this for the first time. So this is a very well-funded agency, and yet they're telling us that they don't have enough resources to avoid putting people outside in a historic and deadly heat wave.
So in Texas, you have the Republican Governor Abbott. In Arizona, you have the Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs. When it comes to the border and treatment of immigrants, does it matter whether it's a Democratic or Republican governor?
I mean, I think if you look at the events on the ground and how things shake out, we've seen over, administration after administration, Democrats and Republicans, the core elements remain the same. The U.S. strategy on the border is funneling flows of migrants into the most remote and deadly stretches of the desert. And this particular area that we're discussing today in the sort of west desert of southern Arizona has turned into an absolute graveyard as a result of that bipartisan policy.
Finally, I wanted to ask Texas State Senator Roland Gutierrez. We first talked to you after the Uvalde massacre of children at the elementary school. There, hundreds of Texas law enforcement moved in and did nothing. Here you have Texas law enforcement pushing children back into the water. Can you comment overall on what needs to happen? And if you became U.S. Senator, what is the kind of immigration reform we need to see?
Well, Amy, we need to revamp the whole system. And I don't know that people in Congress are ready to do this, but we are facing an aging population in the United States. We can absorb literally millions of jobs in hospitality, construction, agriculture. Right now, our farmers and ranchers are struggling with our H-2A visa program. We need to revamp this whole program, take immigration outside of the border, remove it to countries of origin, go to the U.S. consulate and where you imagine an office that says, we need 10,000 jobs in hospitality. And we start filling those jobs from abroad. We can do this in a right way. We just need to have people currently in Congress that are willing to do it. Additionally, there's 13 million migrants in the United States that have been here for more than 30 years. We need to address that issue. We need to give them a pathway to residency, first off, and citizenship beyond that. We have a million dreamers that we haven't settled. All of the issues on immigration are right there in front of us, and they're solvable. It just doesn't seem that people on either side of this aisle want to fix this political football. Republicans less so. I think that they see him as some future voter that wouldn't vote for them. But, we've seen the fixes come from a Republican named Ronald Reagan many, many years ago with amnesty. We have to get down together and figure this out. Every association of business, chamber of commerce, and agricultural group across this country wants to solve this problem. It can be solved if we do it in a smart way.
Democratic Texas State Senator Roland Gutierrez, now running for the U.S. Senate against Republican Senator Ted Cruz. And Ryan Devereaux, reporter for The Intercept, based in Tucson, Arizona. Ryan, we'll link to your new piece, Border Patrol is Caging Migrants Outdoors During Deadly Arizona Heat Wave. Coming up, an historic settlement. New York City's agreed to pay $13 million to protesters victimized by the police during the 2020 Black Lives Matter protests. Then we'll look at the film Oppenheimer. Stay with us.
I walk along the street of sorrow, the boulevard of broken dreams, where gigolo and gigolette can take a kiss without regret, so they forget their broken dreams. You laugh tonight and cry tomorrow when you behold your